Grace to you and peace from God, our Heavenly Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, dear Christian friends. It's good to do that. Thank you. I appreciate that. Today we continue Romans with Romans 5, 1 through 11. And we look at peace with God. There's nothing better than having peace with God, right? But we've had to talk about some tough subjects and tough topics about the need for Jesus, the need for a Savior, for chapter after chapter. And I did have a couple toughies, Pastor. I really did. About the wrath of God and about people are just disobedient and ruthless and violent and hateful and on and on. But what Paul was doing was setting us all up. First of all, he attacked the pagan, the gross, immoral person that just lives for themselves and how obviously they're on their way to hell. But they're not the only ones, unfortunately, because he also attacked the moralists and said, well, I'm better than they are. I would never do that. I am so holy and so good. Well, Paul said, no, you're not. You're a sinner too. The least of these. You're a friend, you're a sinner, you're an outcast just as much as they are. Then he attacked a religious person. Well, at least I've been in the church all my life. God says, so what? So what? Devil's in the church too. So what he's done the past few chapters is knocked down every foundation outside of Jesus Christ, right? Trying to be a good person. How many people have you heard say, well, I just try to be a good person. I try not to hurt anybody, and I don't kill anybody, so I think I'll go to heaven. Well, God's perfect and holy, and he can't allow any sin in his presence, so someone's going to have to pay for those sins, and we know who that is. And that's for the good stuff, yeah, to talk about today. So the danger in preaching verse by verse is you've got to bring the gospel in sometimes, and other times you've got to bring the law in. And what's scary to me, Pastor, is that so many younger folks, my own relatives, think that they automatically, because God is their creator, automatically God is their savior without them having to receive or do anything. That just automatically, he's the creator, automatically, by nature, I'm his child. No, we all have to be adopted. By nature, we are lost and separated from God, right? And unless we get that fact in our heads and our hearts and accept that we are sinners who need a savior. We just go our own merry way without God, without Jesus. So, having said all that, now in Romans, last week, Pastor Rick talked about faith, that Abraham was saved by his faith, not by being a good Abe, a good guy, right? He was saved by his faith, trusted, believing against all hope, had hope against all hope, trusted that the Messiah would come through his own family tree, even though he's as good as dead, 100 years old, and I'm going to have a kid, yes, sir, we're going to have child, and they did, right? The promised child. So, having said all that, now we get to the good stuff. Now that we've realized we all desperately need help, and there's nothing like tragedy or adversity to wake you up, a person up, and say, you can't do life on your own. You can't do life without God. We can't, right? Having said all that, now, what does Paul say? Therefore, because of God sent Jesus, who was raised again for our justification and rose from the dead and paid for our sins. That's why we have the cross here, right? Therefore, since we have been justified, declared righteous through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And Pastor Rick was giving me a hard time last night because what's the title in the Bible today for this heading? Peace and joy. Pastor Rick, no peace or joy for you when you preached, right? I come back after 3 weeks, I get peace and joy. thank you. Yes. And I can't wait to get into this because it's a great text. But it starts with being justified by faith. Now, we've been critical of some of the Lutherans, you know, and some of the things in our own church body. We got this right on, the Lutheran church. Lutheran theologians got this better than anybody. They understand this. Justification by faith through grace in Jesus Christ. Grace alone. Faith alone. Scripture alone. That's right on, bedrock Reformation Bible teaching, right? Rock solid. And so I read Luther, Steckhart, Kretzmann, Walter A. Meyer, some really good theologians, and really had a good time. And I still remember my seminary professor hammering away at Romans. We had to buy his notes because he talked so fast and had so much Greek and Hebrew and this. We called him Wham because his name was Walter A. Meyer, but it wasn't just the initials. It was Wham! 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 And I can still hear this little guy, and he's from the East Coast. And the God glorifying life is justification through faith in Jesus Christ. It's not by anybody else. So when you preach, man, when you go out in that pulpit, you talk about Christ. You talk about faith. You talk about justification. And like that's, he would hammer it. And he would kind of gaze off, like he was in Fort Wayne Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. And he was like gazing off into the space. He'd be totally unaware of anybody else there. He'd just go off at a moment. But it's that class has, I remember that so much because he pounded it into us that you've got to go out there in your parishes and talk about this because most people think, well, I just try to be a good person, right? We're justified by faith in Jesus Christ alone. There's only one way, right? And he is the way. So after we've been justified by faith, that we realize we're a sinner, just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. O Lamb, I come. Amen. So that's the gospel. The good news is that we're all miserable, lost sinners, but the good news is we've got a Savior. We have someone that took our place and took it all upon himself, all our sins, all our weaknesses, all our failures, all the ways we mess up, and we get it exchanged. We give him our garbage, our sins, our failures, our fears, and guess what we get? His holiness, his righteousness. It's not a fair deal for him, but it's great for us, right? So don't you think that's the greatest Christmas gift of all we should be focusing on in our world today? And we ought to be bowing down on our knees and thanking God and praising, all hail, King Jesus. Hail! Worship, we praise you. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and glory and honor forever and ever. And we'll be doing that into eternity. My dads are doing it now. Everyone in heaven is praising him. And they won't get bored of praising him, thanking him, because it'll go on and on and on with total joy. And we should be doing that now because we're going to be doing it forever in heaven. So get used to worship. Not necessarily music. Worship is more than just the music, the song. It's our hearts coming in the presence of God and declaring who God is. The Holy of Holies, the Gracious One, the Loving One, the Holy, the Omnipotent One, All-Powerful, All-Present, Perfect, Benevolent, Kind, Gracious, Merciful. He is all that and more, beyond what we can ever explore. It'll take eternity to explore the depths of who God really is, right? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? So we praise God that now we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. Peace with God. And when you have peace with God, everything is going to be okay. If you've got peace with God, you've got God on your side, you're good standing, right? There's a lot of times some of our members and my clients will try to find a lawyer to represent them. And a lot of times they can't afford good representation. But there was one man who got this really fantastic lawyer for nothing, pro bono, and he really helped him out a lot. And it's funny because this client was lacking confidence altogether until he had this lawyer. And he's a little guy, short, squatty guy, and he comes into court like this when his lawyer's with him. He's just like, he was so confident because now he had the big lawyer, big tall guy, former basketball player, that was representing him. And he had a whole different attitude of confidence. confidence. We now have someone on our side, Jesus Christ, who fights for us, who intercedes for us, who died for us. So you have peace with God right now. And one of the translations says, let us have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. At the subjunctive, that let us have this, let us possess it, let us live in this peace with Jesus, with God. You have peace with God. And that's awesome, right? We talk about peace on earth, goodwill toward men. We talk about unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The Bible says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is kept on you. Jesus said, my peace I give unto you. We say to each other, peace be with you. Where does that peace come from? Us? Am I giving you peace when I wish you say God's peace? It's God's peace, which is awesome, right? Peace and joy we have through Jesus Christ. What better Christmas gifts under the tree, or actually under the cross, peace and joy through Jesus Christ. So we have peace with God, and we praise Him for that. And not only that, We have total access to God. Back in Illinois, and I knew this was going to happen. It happened 2 years ago. My wonderful cell phone that works great here does not work so well in central Illinois. I don't know if it's cornfields. I don't know what it is. I tried to go. Mount Pulaski is like a town of 2,000 people. And they got it's on a hill. The town square is on a hill. So I drove at night to the top of the hill in the city square to see if my phone and or my laptop would work. It worked for the first week. The second week, it didn't. So I didn't have access. Great. Wonderful. Super. And then when I was driving, everything changed. All the highways, when I used to live in Springfield, Illinois, town about 100,000, it changed all the highways and the names. They got these different names of heroes, and so the highway I used to know changed directions, changed width, and changed names. So I'm on one road, and I see the road I want to get. It's over here, but I can't go from this road to that road. I keep seeing it. It's like, here you got Black Canyon Highway, I-17. You can get on and off. There's access. No access here. I go, I want to get on that road. When will I ever be able to find a road that gets me from here to over there? No access to it. God gives us access through Jesus Christ all the time. There's never a moment when I can go to God in prayer and I say, oh, shoot, all lines are busy. He's too busy right now. He's gone. He's not connecting. And what am I going to do here? What am I going to do? But we have total access. So some people worry about, who are under the law, they think, what if I commit a sin after I take communion and confess my sins? Does that mean I'll go to hell if I sin out here in the parking lot and then I die? No! We live in this access of God's grace. You are God's child adopted through Jesus Christ. You're not in and out of His family. Okay, you're in it today, you're out of it tomorrow. Okay, you blew, boy, you really had a bad day. You're out. No, it's not that way. Now we can harden our hearts and reject Him. Yes, we're not talking about that. You have access. Isn't this great? That's why we come here, to rejoice in the gospel, the good news. It is awesome. Where would we be without this good news? I tell you, when you face a death, it's a joy to have this. I don't know how people face death or illness or tragedy outside of Jesus Christ, the peace and joy we have. Thanks be to God for this indescribable gift that we have in this Christmas. Amen. So we have access. Not only so, but we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. What does that mean? Well, Steele and Sandy, those of you who go to jail, you know what that means. When you go there, you just feel the glory of God pouring out, shining on people, the light just all over the place in the glory. When we live in God's glory, that Shekinah glory, and He's inside us, and He's inside the inmates, and it's just this explosion of God's glory all around us. It is indescribably sweet. And one of the greatest things you can ever experience in your life when you're in God's presence, His glorious presence, right? The angels, when they came down, the shepherds, those shepherds were never the same. They went out and told everybody. The wise men, they were so moved they gave gold, and not Frankenstein, but frankincense, and not a myrrh. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh, kids, okay? But expensive gifts, they were so overwhelmed by the grace of God in this Jesus, this Messiah, the gift of God in the flesh coming down to them, and He's coming down to us, this Advent. And thanks be to God that we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And that glory is in Africa, in the worst possible places. That glory showed up to a Muslim in ISIS. True story. Jesus appeared to him in a vision. He says, I'm Jesus. Here I am for you. He was overwhelmed because he was taught that Allah, God, is a God of hate, not a God of love. And then he started thinking about all the things he had done. He wanted to kill Christians. He tried to kill Christians. He felt so overwhelmed by the grief and the guilt that Jesus appeared to him again and said, you know what? I spilled my blood for you 2,000 years ago. That blood is still fresh and it's still powerful for you right now. That's how much I love you. And this guy turned around and now he's starting a church in Baghdad, risking his life for Jesus. Amazing. The glory of God in the darkest, most violent of places, God's glory is right there. He's in the jails. He's in Iraq, Iran. God is still on the move. And so don't give up. Think we're on the losing side, right? We're on the winning side. So stay with close to Jesus. Amen? Amen. All right. So we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, now this we have to swallow hard, but we also rejoice in our sufferings. Why? Because we know that suffering produces perseverance. And perseverance, character, proven character. And character, hope. I thought about this verse a couple weeks ago. Separated from all you. And then we talked about this, Donna. Sure enough, it happened. Like I said, I got disconnected with my phone, my laptop. That's my life, right? Connected with all of you. And I'm talking to Rick, and he says, well, move around. I can't hear you. I go, I had to move 30 miles around this place because that's how far. You can't find connectivity. It's driving me, really was driving me nuts. And what had happened is my dad got seriously ill. We all thought my mom would go first. My mom thought that. My dad thought that. We all thought that. My dad did all the finances, all the insurance, all the retirement. We can't find checking accounts. We can't find checkbooks. The bills are coming in. I'm trying to pay the bills. I can't find a checkbook. I find the checkbook. No checks. Oh, and so I go, God, I could use some help. And I go down 2 o'clock in the morning because my mom would get kind of in the middle of things and wonder what I was meddling. She got paranoid. I go, no, I'm trying to help you, Mom. I'm trying to pay the bills, keep the lights on because it was 22 degrees outside. I don't want to be freezing cold here, so I've got to find these bills. Found the bills, and then I ordered checks. Wouldn't you know, the next day I find all the checks. They were under year-old Christmas cards. There's a bunch of checks there.
What?
And my folks used to be very, very, very organized till the last few years. Okay, so I'm doing all that, right? And I'm just going, God, this is nuts. I can't find anything. We can't find the safety deposit box key. You've got to have that key to find the will, right? And the funeral home's getting on me. They want $15,000. Like, oh, sure, right here. Yeah, I got it right here for you. So thank God my mom actually found the safety deposit box key, and I kind of took it because I wanted to make sure she didn't lose it. Went to the bank, had trouble with their key because you have their key and my key. My key works, theirs doesn't. Great. And so I thought of this verse. I really did. I go, okay, I'm going to rejoice in these sufferings, God. This can't keep going on like this. This is nuts. And then I was going to fly out Thanksgiving at a real cheap fare. Well, I can't leave my mom on Thanksgiving, her first Thanksgiving alone. So I'm going to change my flight the Sunday before Thanksgiving, right? Well, guess what? Everybody in the whole world is procrastinating, and they're waiting until the Sunday before Thanksgiving to book their flight. So I'm on the phone 2 hours. I'm not exaggerating. 2 hours trying to change my flight. I had flight protection plan. It doesn't cover in this situation, of course. So I'm waiting, and I'm on the phone. I'm connected. I'm disconnected. And so finally the lady said, okay, I got to put you on hold. I said, no, don't put me on hold. If I'll never come back here, I may lose connection. Please don't put me on hold. Please don't put me on hold. I have to put you on hold. I lost connection. Got back on. Got off. Finally got the flight. Okay, so I'm going to fly out November 29th, Tuesday. Fine. After Thanksgiving weekend. Then I go home, and I watch the news. So my mom watches all the news. She watched 2 local stations of news and then national news. So we had to get it every night. Boy, plus Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy and no sports. Anyway, okay. So I finally got the flight, and I watched the news. And United Airlines, because they're sympathetic to Thanksgiving travelers over the weekend, will postpone their strike until Tuesday, November 29th in Chicago. Guess where I'm flying to? Chicago, a layover. Baggage handlers will not be there. Non-union workers will be in charge of your bags. And I got this picture of some guy, some high school dropout, just throwing my bag around, which was quite heavy. But anyway, so I'm going, and I thought of this verse. With all this going on, I go, God, where are you? Come on. Have you noticed maybe we got some tragedy going on here? We got this death, we got the finances, we got the funeral home barking at me for money. My folks cashed in their life insurance policy a few years ago because they didn't like the company for HH bonds. It takes a month to get those back. I go, I don't know anything about HH bonds. What? I'm a pastor and a social worker. I know nothing about this stuff. I thought of this verse. I said, okay, God, I'm going to trust you. You say, rejoice and suffer. You say, count it all joy and shame. Various trials. I got various trials, all kinds of things that James and Paul didn't have about cell phones and laptops. I've got it. And then Peter says, all these happen so that your faith, which is precious, may be refined through fire like gold. Okay, well, it's getting kind of hot, God. It's getting pretty hot here. I hope you haven't forgotten me. Hello? I'm not in Arizona anymore. I'm here in Illinois. Did you come with me, I hope? And he did. He did. Because I had a vision of all of my mom's relatives going up to her bedroom, a family going up the stairs, her mom, her dad, her aunt, her uncle, all going up to comfort her. Then I had my relatives come in, and then I had angels serving us soft drinks. That's my dream. And we had the celebration. And I didn't feel God's presence for a while. And like you talked about, when you had the kidney stones, you didn't get the miracle, but you got the peace. But finally the peace came. And the last night I was there, I was flooded by God's glory, of His presence. And He said, Perry, you don't have the answers about your mom, because she refuses to go to a home, assisted living. She refuses only to have anybody come in the house and look after her except for two people. And she's allowed those people. I didn't know how it was going to work. My mom has sounded great 4 nights in a row. She says she feels our... She's never talked about feeling God ever in her life. She talks about feeling our prayers. And she can't get over inmates at the jail pray so much for her. She's feeling your prayers. So thank you for that. So we can rejoice in our sufferings because they produce character and hope. And hope does not disappoint us, this hope, because the love of God is poured in our hearts, not our heads, in our hearts through the Holy Spirit whom He has given us. Go to Friday night. I'm back in town, overwhelmed by getting back in touch with work, but yet overwhelmed by the love I'm getting by my coworkers. At work, it was amazing. Plus here, coming back, going to a great concert Tuesday night. It was awesome. Unbelievable concert Tuesday night. Incredible. I needed that so much. And I hadn't gone to jail. That sounds weird. I haven't gone to jail for a while. But they have been quarantined for like 3 or 4 months, right, Steele and Sandy? And couldn't go to... Well, it was all open for business this Friday. And God was open for business. Because here's what happened. About the love of God being poured in the hearts. We started worshiping. And we're known as the worshiping chapel there at the jail. Because we'll do like 10 songs uninterrupted. Just do straight worship. And then we do communion. We do a message or a video. But it's all worship. And so people come in whether they know Spanish or not, just to feel God's presence. Guards have noticed it. It's amazing, right, Seal? It's amazing. So here's one of the most amazing services I've had there, and that's been going on for 3 years. We're row after row of men. And it's like a tidal wave of God's love hitting the back row first. Row guys falling on their knees, in tears, worshiping God, on their faces. Boom, one row. Next row, tidal wave. They're on their faces. Next row. We've got almost probably two-thirds of the guys on the floor worshiping God, praising Him for His presence and overwhelmed by His presence. And then I called the guard because I'd been there an hour and a half. He forgot us. So we ran out of songs. I didn't have any videos because, remember, my bag was stolen. My car got stolen. So I don't have any. Got one video done. Anyway, so we're nothing to do. So they started singing to me a cappella. And they sang Levantamos Mis Manos, when we raised my hand. They're singing over me and my family. And so they went from their faces on the ground to all of them standing up, raising their hands, looking at me and praying and singing a blessing over me. That's the love of God being poured in our hearts through the Holy Spirit whom He has given us. There's nothing like it on earth because it's heaven come down to earth. And we need to be open. And if you need a touch from God, He is here. He's here to touch you. He's here to fill your heart with His Spirit and His love. That's the greatest Christmas gift of all. So receive that right now. And it's awesome. It's absolutely awesome. But not only that, Paul keeps going on about these blessings of peace and joy. That's great stuff. He says, well, you know what? At just the right time, you see, at just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for us, for the ungodly. I sometimes get a little ticked off about God's timing. I'm like, God, can you help me out here with this plane ticket? Can you help me out with this? Where are you? We talked about that in the Psalms with David to cry out, where are you, God? And he said, oh, yeah, you're here. I forgot. Sorry. And I praise you. But it felt like at times God's timing was off. But it wasn't. At just the right time we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. He died for us when we had nothing to give Him. Right? We're sinners. It's not like, oh, I'll do this for you. What do you do for me? No, it's all one way. All one way. We give Him our sins and we get His righteousness. He says, He died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we're still sinners, Christ died for us. We're still sinners, right? And He says, how much more, since we've been justified by His blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him? For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? So if we were saved and we're enemies of God, and God did it all one way, it's all His love, not our love, and He turns us around, He changes us, right? How much more now that we're his kids, his children, will he help us out? He's not going to say, oh, sorry, kid. When we say to our kids, sorry, just get lost. I'm too busy for you. No. We parents, we ache for our kids. We want to do all we can for our kids. We love our kids. Well, is a perfect father, right? He runs to us when we call out to him. He runs when he hears us children, when we fall down and can't get up. He's there for you. He's there for us even more now that we are his adopted children. You are a friend of God. You are a child of the King. I'm a child of the King. It's like, what? When I first became a pastor and a parent all the same within 2 weeks' time, it was hard when people said, pastor, I didn't turn around because they're talking to me. Oh, that's me. Yeah. Or now you're a daddy. I'm a father and a pastor. That was heavy stuff. I wasn't used to those two titles. Maybe you're still not used to the title, you are a princess in the eyes of Jesus. You are a prince. You are a beloved child of God, a child of the King. Yeah, woohoo's right. There's no greater title than that. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. Wow. That's the good news that I get to preach here, the peace and joy, because we have a Savior who came down to earth. And I think we need to thank Him more than we do. I think we need to praise God more. We really do. It's pretty anemic, our worship and praise sometimes. Because thanks be to God for this indescribable gift. So why don't we thank Him now? Father, how can we say thank You for this indescribable sweet gift that You sent Your very Son? And when we turned our backs on You, You turned Your face toward us, and You ran toward us, the prodigal son or daughter, living on our own, living it up, full of addictions, full of selfishness, full of pride, full of all about me. And You loved us unconditionally and turned us around. Through Your death, we are reconciled to You. Through Your life, we are called Your children by Your risen light, Your resurrection and Your ascension, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You that we have the hope of the glory of God. And even in tough times, You're still there, Lord. And You lead us all the way to heaven. And You hold tightly our hands through the valley of the shadow of death. You hold tightly our hands through all the complexities and craziness of life that's thrown at us and all the stresses and anxieties. And then You pour Your love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. I ask You to fill every single person here. Fill us more with Your love so we can share that love with others. And now, whatever way we give us the words, show us how we can say thank You to You right now. We praise You. All hail, King Jesus. All hail to You. You're our King. You're Lord of Lords. King of kings, Lord of lords, God of all gods, very God of very God. You're the only one. We cry out to You for our nation. We thank You. We praise You. Worthy is the Lamb to receive all the power and riches and wisdom and glory and honor and worship forever and ever by angels and by men, by women, by children. We should never stop praising You and thanking You. Thanksgiving should go on and on and on. We praise You. How can we say thank You? How can we? The words are not there. This is how we can show our appreciation and our gratitude. We bow before You, Father. We bow before You, Jesus, King Jesus. We worship You. We praise You. We give You honor and glory. When we, imperfect sinners, we humbly ask, receive our praise. Receive our thanks. Receive our lives. We want to glorify You this Christmas season into the new year. Thank You, Lord. I thank You for these people and their love. I thank You for Your presence. I thank You. We thank You. We praise You. We love You. We honor You. We glorify Your name. In Jesus' name. Amen.